Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. I'm Anthony Bellino alongside Danica Halen and Ryan Elke in the Detroit studio. Jake Woods holding it down for us in the Glass City. Good morning to all of you, no matter who you are, where you are, or how you may be listening. We appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning from 6 until 9 here on X's and Bros. And as always, there's plenty of ways for you to get in contact with us and reach out, share your thoughts. Text the keyword Sports Radio to 21000, Sports Radio to 21000. You can call us on the Auto Value Guest Line 313-396-5527 on Twitter at XB Mornings. Dan is at Dan in the studio. Ryan is at Ryan L underscore key. Jake is at Woods on air, and I'm Anthony at AC Bellino. It is a man, it's a nice day. It's Thursday. It's the 30th day of July. One more day in the month of July. Tomorrow is the final day of the month before we hit the month of August. I can't believe it. Summer has flown by.
Football is supposed to start in 7 weeks. Does that seem even close to possible right now?
No, not at all. 7 weeks. What kind of football are you watching? I was thinking like the last week of August, we should be prepping for college.
I'm talking regular season NFL football is always the weekend after Labor Day.
Say Oklahoma, Missouri State, August 29th, 4 weeks from Saturday.
Yeah, we'll see. We shall see. About that, did you see the ACC gentlemen actually released their schedule model, if you will? So they announced their grid yesterday and what it's going to look like. They're going to play 10 conference games and one non-conference game, allegedly. All of those non-conference games are to be announced, depending on if they can actually get one or not. But their schedule is out, and I was looking. I wanted to go right to Notre Dame, right? Because the U is not the U anymore, and they haven't been the U for a while. And the ACC is a conference. Think about this conference as a whole. Talking football only, Boston College, Duke, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Louisville. This is Duke football, by the way. Florida State, sans Bobby Bowden. Louisville, no Lamar Jackson. The U, no Jimmy Johnson. North Carolina, Mac Brown? Yeah. NC State, Pittsburgh, Syracuse, Virginia Tech, no Michael Vick. Wake Forest, Chris Paul, Tim Duncan, but that was basketball. Okay, and then Clemson and Notre Dame. Notre Dame, brand power, yes. Notre Dame's schedule is going to look like this. Their home games, according to the schedule model, will feature Clemson, Duke, Florida State, Louisville, and Syracuse. Their road games, Wake Forest, Pitt, UNC, Georgia Tech, and Boston College. Maybe I should put a little bit more respect on UNC's name, but Notre Dame, they're going to take that L to Clemson. And then after that, it's basically a cakewalk. They should dominate every other game on that schedule outside of UNC might be a tight one. That's a 9-1 conference record right now. And I was looking at that, and I found it very interesting because a lot of people had questions about, okay, well, what is Notre Dame going to do since, you know, the conference has started to announce that, hey, we're going conference-only games, right? Big 10, Pac-12, Big 12. What's going to happen to Notre Dame? The ACC came right out and said, we're going to be as accommodating as possible. Because according to their agreement, Notre Dame is a full member of the conference in every sport except for football, or they're just a half member. Right? They get six home games, six road games in a normal season. Six of those games will be against ACC opponents. So the ACC gets to piggyback off of Notre Dame on visiting games for ND, because the home games are on NBC. So they get a little love for, and let's be honest, Notre Dame has more brand power. If it's Wake Forest against Boston College, you couldn't find less people to care about that game. But if it's Wake Forest against Notre Dame, now you have the UND alumni base that is very much tuned in to that ball game. So for the ACC to allow a half membership, it's completely worth it. For Notre Dame to get everything, to have their cake and eat it too, it's completely worth it. And yeah, I'm glad that the ACC was somewhat accommodating, sort of. And then the other part of me kind of wants Notre Dame left out in the cold and be like, well, you know, join a conference. In the words of Benjamin Franklin back in the day, you know, when we were just, you know, putting the Liberty Bell out there, join or die, right? You know, it is plain and simple. That's why the Philadelphia 76ers have that snake logo and the snake is broken up into parts, which is supposed to represent the colonies, and that was the motto back in the day. You're going to join or die. That's kind of how I feel about Notre Dame. Notre Dame should absolutely be in the Big Ten. Absolutely. And some fans have argued, well, that, you know, they don't want to be in the Big Ten because of recruiting, and it you know, there's not much of a draw there in Big Ten country. There's not. I'd much rather be in Columbus than Notre Dame, South Bend. But it's the world we live in. And a lot of UND fans are real pumped up about this season. Last time they were pumped up, they got shelled by the count of like 42 to 14 or something like that to Alabama. So we'll have to kind of wait and see. Big night for the Tigers last night as they improved to a solid 4-2 on the year. One of the best records in the bigs. And we have a ton of other news going on as well. So let's get you all caught up with all the happenings right now in the headlines.
Big news.
I have a little news flash.
Let's check the headlines.
No, it's real news for once.
The biggest stories of the local, regional, and national news.
This is huge news.
Major League Baseball is going to require teams to add a coronavirus protocol compliance officer. Already a week into the season, they're just now putting this in there? Come on. They're also mulling 7-inning doubleheaders, according to a source, which I don't have any problem with whatsoever. They got to get these games in. 7 innings is plenty. They've been using that in the minor leagues forever. The baseball traditionalists, just relax. It's a special season. Take a deep breath. Everything's going to be fine. Your sacred game is going to be okay. The Dodgers pitcher, Joe Kelly, has been suspended 8 games by MLB for his incident with the Astros. Now, was the pitch at the head egregious? Yes. He threw one behind Alex Bregman's head and then taunted Carlos Correa. And then he went to Instagram yesterday and photoshopped their faces on his children while they were sitting on his lap. And he said, I'm going to apologize to absolutely nobody, which is a Conor McGregor quote there, which I think is great. Joe Kelly for Heisman. The fact that they suspended him 8 games in a 60-game season, that's just outlandish. That's the equivalent of what? Just over 22 games in a regular season? Like, that's absurd.
He didn't hit anyone. The Astros cheated and won a World Series.
But nobody cares that the Astros cheated. MLB told you, with zero suspensions levied, no fines. Like, okay, I take back the zero suspensions. They suspended, the manager and the GM. Like, great. But they didn't suspend any of the players.
And they got an equivalent of a 60-game suspension because they're missing this season. But they were fired anyway.
Pete Rose bet on his team to win baseball games.
Pete Rose is
and got
allegedly
banned for. I'm not saying Pete Rose is a good person. He got banned for life for betting on his team to win.
Yes.
The Astros allegedly cheated an entire season and won the World Series.
Yes.
And lost draft picks. That's it.
It makes no sense whatsoever. And it's bothering, and it's painful for baseball fans. It's painful for anybody that wants to. I like the fact that guys like Mike Clevenger and everybody else in the world are calling him out. Like, even Torrey Krug, I think it was, of the Boston Bruins, made a comment about it last night on Twitter. It's like, dude, if you're not going to do anything about the cheaters, like, I don't even what are we even doing? Chris Bryant helped the Cubs complete their franchise's first triple play in 23 years in their loss to the Reds. The Tigers beat the Royals 5-4. Congratulations to the Tigers. Matt Boyd went 5 innings, gave up 9 hits, 4 earned runs, did strike out 6. So you have that. Garcia got the W. Buck Farmer got a hold. And Jimenez with his 4th save on the season. All 3 of those relievers came in and went 1 inning apiece and 0s across the board. So good night for the Tigers bullpen. Chiefs running back Damian Williams opting out of the 2020 season, so he's gone. The Lions have placed Pro Bowl receiver Kenny Galladay and tight end, the second-year kid out of Iowa, TJ Hockenson, last year's first-round pick on the COVID-19 reserve list. They have 5 players test positive. Chargers coach Anthony Lynn is excited about the Joey Bosa contract. Everybody should be excited if you're an LA Chargers fan. Lakers' Anthony Davis has an eye issue, says that he does plan to play against the Clippers. Zion Williamson will be a game-time decision for the Pelicans opener tonight. Michael Porter Jr. has been the Nuggets have talked to him about his coronavirus population control theory. He did a live Snapchat Q&A, and he had some comments about it, and apparently the team in the league were not big, not real fond of his own independent thoughts. That's what we got for the headlines. We're going to step aside. We're back with more of X's and Bros after this here on the Michigan Sports Network.
Huge here for the incredible Tullymore Golf Resort. Now, they're located in Canadian Lakes, Michigan, which is less than an hour north of GR, a couple hours from Detroit, maybe an hour and a half if you're coming down from Traverse City. It's accessible to everybody listening right now, and it's one of America's top public golf resorts. They offer two 18-hole layouts, Tullymore and St. Ives. They have fantastic stay-and-play packages, like the Sizzlin' Summer Deal that includes a prime rib dinner. Go to TullymoreGolf.com, book that stay-and-play package, mention the Huge Show, and you could save at TullymoreGolf.com. Also, check out the lodge. It holds 24 people if you want to have the ultimate stay-and-play getaway when it comes to golf and also after your round. They offer fine dining to great sandwiches and more. See it for yourself at TullymoreGolf.com. That is TullymoreGolf.com, the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan.
When you manage a nonprofit organization, you strive every day to fulfill its mission, whether assisting those in crisis or helping them realize their dreams. And all the while, you're facing challenges of your own, such as dwindling resources and increased demand for services, leaving little time to address daily operational, compliance, and accounting issues. That's where we come in. We're Bean Gardner. And while your nonprofit works to serve others, we work to serve you, helping you find ways to reduce costs, embark on a capital campaign, analyze growth, or manage compliant issues and requirements. Whether you provide health and human services, support arts and culture, promote education and research, or focus on the environment and animals, we help those who help others. Experience service, expertise, and simplicity at Bean Garter. Find us online, beangarter.com. Bean Garter.
Welcome back into X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Haitland and Ryan Elke in the studio. I'm Anthony Foligno. Text the keyword sports radio to 21000, sports radio to 21000, or call us 313-396-5527. We're going to be joined by Adam Levitan of Establish the Run. He's going to hang out with us about, 17 minutes from right now. We got a text coming in. Notre Dame's alliance with the ACC is destroying their brand. I have no interest in watching them play ACC teams. The Baptist Southeast doesn't care about them either. Their fan base may still care, but they've eliminated interest from those who watch because they didn't like them, namely the Midwest Big Ten non-Notre Dame fans. I don't even know what I just read, to be honest with you. Notre Dame to the ACC makes zero sense. Zero sense. It doesn't. When they signed the agreement, it didn't make sense then. It doesn't make sense now. I understand why the SEC did it, because they want that money. So when Boston College has to host a basketball game and Notre Dame's brand can walk in the door, that's cool. Like, that works for them. You know, if NC State's going to play, whoever, Virginia, that's a good game. But if Notre Dame's going to play Virginia, that's an even better game. That's a game that's got ESPN's attention if it's on the road, and, of course, if it's on NBC. Notre Dame is an interesting topic just because it kind of feels like they are stuck in the past. They're stuck in, yes, and that's coming from a Michigan football fan, so I know what I'm saying right now. But it feels like the lure of what was the national brand that everyone could get, and there was this mystique about Notre Dame. That mystique is gone. Right now, the mystique resides in Alabama. It resides in Clemson, South Carolina. It resides in Columbus, Ohio. It you could say Norman, Oklahoma, maybe sometimes, maybe Athens, Georgia. Like, there are cities and states that have a mystique about a program that has reached success and heights that Notre Dame has not. It just is what it is. The Four Horsemen, Newt Rockne, like, they're great legendary stories of yesteryear, but in today's world, young people just do not care about the history of the sport, a very revisionist history. What have you done in the last 10 years? What have you done for me last year? You know, so a lot of those old names and legends, you know, Rudy and all that good stuff, like, sure, it's fine. And if you're a Notre Dame fan, you're a Notre Dame fan, and that's the, and you love it, man. You like that drive, 80, 90 westbound to South Bend. You like stopping at Belmont Beverage. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, like it just isn't Notre Dame isn't what they once were, and that's okay. Things change, things evolve. But the fact that we still have independence in college football, just a clear lack of leadership by the NCAA, and I've never understood. This is one of those hills I'm willing to die on. Is the fact that the NCAA gave up individual conferences' contractual rights with television networks, which gave those conferences the money. Once you have the money, then you have the power. Once you have the power, then you have the respect. The NCAA has none of it. Zero. That's why we have this fake committee that invites teams to the college football Final Four playoff invitational for only Power Five schools. What's the group of five even playing for? A trip to the Popeyes Bahamas Bowl is the best. That's the best bowl game you can have. Go to the Atlantis. And that's only if you lose the MAC. You got to miss out on the Mid-American Conference Championship game at Ford Field to get to the Popeyes Bowl. That's better than going to Mobile, Alabama in the Reese's Cup Bowl or whatever the hell that is. There was the Raycom Media Bowl, the Camellia Bowl. It's been like 15 different names. Like, no thanks. You want to go to Boca Raton or you want to go to the Popeyes Bowl?
You don't want to go to the Mayonnaise Bowl?
I don't want to go to the Mayonnaise Bowl. I don't want to go to the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. I don't want to go to the Military Bowl. If I'm a MAC school, I got my eyes set on Boca, and I got my eyes set on Paradise Island in the Bahamas, baby. That's where I'm going. Notre Dame. Just bothersome. All right, so we have back on over to the hardwood. Let's get into the announcement. Yesterday we talked to James Edwards. We're touch base with him at 8:35 this morning. A little more details on this move for the Detroit Pistons. After the upcoming 2021 season, the Pistons will move their G League team from Grand Rapids to the Wayne State campus in Detroit. An arena that seats about 3,000 people. It's close proximity. Dwayne Casey in Toronto did a lot with their G League team and going back and forth between Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet. I think that the interesting portion here is what happens to Grand Rapids. Grand Rapids is a very unique city, very fun city. It's definitely a AAA type of city. And, you know, they have the AHL and the Griffins. They had the G League and the Drive. What happens next for the Drive? Will they find an affiliate? Will a team even use them? You know, because there are a few teams without a direct affiliate. What do we see as far as affiliations with the G League and the NBA? It's not as if it works out as well as or as important maybe as what you see in the NHL. And even that's not even as important as what you see in MLB. MLB is all about the farm system, right? If you have a good farm system, you are able to groom those prospects, bring them up, and have them steal the show, right? Kansas City Royals. Or you can do what the Yankees do. You get great prospects, and then you just trade them all off. And you build your roster and write checks. Like, that's what you do. And it's interesting because you can go both ways with it. For hockey, you know, only a handful of guys make it from the ECHL up to the AHL. And even from there, the handful is even less and less. Because you're going to go from, you know, playing juniors or playing in Europe to the AHL team, to the NHL team if you're good enough. And it is nice to have them in Grand Rapids. It's not, you know, 2.5-3 hours isn't terrible. It's not ideal, but it's not terrible. And the Griffins have a pretty strong history there. So that's a positive. Football doesn't have a farm system. They have college football. That's all they need. And I just don't know, like, if the G League select team decides that this thing is going to pop and this is going to work for these guys, and we're going to see more of the upper level Imani Bates top 5-star blue chip prospects, you know, maybe more and more go there, and that creates a little more draw. But I also think it's a very unique opportunity for those in Detroit that maybe can't afford the Little Caesars Arena experience. If you're a dad and you've got, you know, you got your wife and a couple of kids, the new team in Detroit, the G League team, might offer you a better game day and fan experience on your wallet than, let's say, a Pistons game would at LCA. The question is, what do we name them? What do we name this new team?
It's very simple. It's from a name that used to belong to the city of Detroit. We've had one of the greatest players ever wear the jersey.
Ooh, I think I know where you're going with this, Ryan.
I'm going to give credit to MLive's Benjamin Raven for saying this on Twitter.
Yes.
You bring back the Detroit Vipers.
Oh, with the teal.
with a lot of teal in that city. That you get the maroon back. It's everything everyone wants.
I want to get a Vipers jersey. I was looking online. This is weird, but I was looking online maybe 6 or 8 months ago for a Detroit Vipers jersey. It didn't even have to be, you know, anybody in particular. It could have just been a blank Vipers jersey. I was like, man, that'd be fun to wear. I'd be good with that. The Vipers, I would go with my fantasy football team name. I usually use Motown Muscle, but Motor City Muscle, and you know, based off the cars, maybe with a black and like a gray, kind of like what the alternate uniforms sort of look like. You know, the black and the was it gunmetal gray or whatever? Those are slick. Muscle cars, something like that. I've seen the Tunes, the Motown Tunes, Motor City Tunes. I don't know about that.
What about this one?
Boogaloo Supreme? The Motor City Boogaloo Supreme. Not Supremes, just Supreme.
Why not just the Supremes? That's cool. That's a Motor City thing.
Supreme. Yeah, Supremes would work. That's a Motown throwback. I wonder what else we could manufacture here for a team name. Some of the suggestions are just outlandish.
Well, it has to be something related to to music. I would hope, you know, especially if they're playing at Wayne State.
You're saying it's got to be music related, not vehicle related.
Yeah, we have enough vehicle related stuff around here, don't we?
Well, we have the Pistons. What else do we have? The Lions.
I'm just saying, in general, we have, like, I mean, we're the Motor City. We have Henry Ford Museum, which is, you know.
I like Henry Ford Museum.
I've been there 1,000 times.
So you can go submit your idea for a nickname on the Pistons website. They are taking suggestions right now.
And I like that idea that the Pistons actually opened it up. They didn't come up with names and have you vote, which I think a Twitter poll would have been cool. Maybe they go to their top four and then and just do it via Twitter poll. Like, that would be, but who knows who would vote. Let's step aside. When we come back, we're going to talk a little football. I know you want to. Adam Levitan of Establish the Run, he joins us next year on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Future for Watson Rockford, the most exciting new Ram truck store in Michigan has joined the Watson Country family of dealerships, known for the best selection and best price on new Ram trucks anywhere in Michigan. Watson Rockford is also an exclusive Business Link dealer, and that means they know trucks, including a full line of Ram commercial trucks like ProMaster. At Watson Rockford, we don't expect your business. We do everything we can to earn it. Get your best price on your new Ram or Jeep during the summer clearance event. Watson Rockford, off of 131, exit 101 and M50.
If you or your family is touched by autism, learn more about Freddy's Foundation at hashtag pop the tap at freddythepizzaman.com. That's F-R-E-D-I thepizzaman.com, or email freddythepizzaman@gmail.com.
There is nothing on earth more amazing than the human brain. No computer can match its intellect. No work of art can rival its beauty. And there is nothing on earth more personal than your brain. It defines who you are. It determines how you love and what others love in you. Your brain is unlike anything we have ever known or will ever see. And in a moment, all of that can change forever. Traumatic brain injury, TBI, can happen anywhere, at any time, to anyone. TBI can define who you are. TBI can determine how you will love. There is nothing on earth more amazing than the human brain. And for victims and families of TBI, there is nowhere on earth like the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor.
The Eisenhower Center, leading the way in traumatic brain injury rehabilitation. Learn more at EisenhowerCenter.com.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Ryan Elke and Danica Halen in the studio. I'm Anthony Bellino, and joining us on the horn right now, please welcome, he's the newest member, a contributor to the show, if I can call him that. It's Adam Levitan. Adam, my friend, first and foremost, thank you for taking the time. You're the co-founder of Establish the Run. How are you today? Are you good? Everybody safe? Everybody healthy on your end?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Everybody's healthy and hoping everybody stays that way and we get some football.
And we get some football. Man, is that the million-dollar question right now? And is it surprising to you? Is it nerve-wracking for you? Maybe you feel a little uncomfortable with the fact that we don't necessarily know. The NFL hasn't really told anybody what exactly the plan is going to be for this season.
Yeah, I mean, if I was in charge of a, you know, $4 billion company, I would certainly be doing everything that I could behind the scenes and maybe not telling the public everything I'm doing behind the scenes. But I hope that that's what the NFL is doing. Their plan right now for, like, guys not to exchange jerseys after the game and, you know, no handshaking in the facility, you know, just seems silly when obviously they're going to be tackling each other and people are going to be in contact. So, yeah, I hope they have a better plan than what they've stated so far. And yeah, I'm reasonably optimistic that they do.
Adam, how, I don't know, how curious is it, or how have you kind of responded to the amount of players that have opted out, seemingly coming from one team? That's the New England Patriots have had a whole host of individuals who have said, you know what, they're going to bypass this season and maybe pick things up the following year. Has that been surprising to see as many players opt out as we have seen, and then as many from the, you know, one franchise with New England as we have?
Yeah, I think as a whole, it hasn't been that many. You know, maybe 25, 30 players have so far, and I believe they have until next week, so I'm sure we'll hear some more. I think if people have people they live with who they're worried about their health, I totally understand wanting to opt out. All the Patriots doing it does seem a little weird, and they lost some really, I mean, key players. I mean, Marcus Cannon, and Dante Hightower, and Patrick Chung, And yeah, I mean, you know, it's odd for the Patriots, I think, to be the one that's kind of the example of this. But yeah, I think the players just kind of have to make their own decision, and we'll see how it goes over the next week.
For our listeners, visit establishtherun.com. As it seems, as you know, going over your website, it seems like there's a whole host of NFL analysis, but especially on the fantasy and on the gambling wire as well. It seems that you can really, you know, kind of read up and zero in on you know, kind of how people want to play this season. Let's just say, for instance, or hypothetically speaking, the season goes off without a hitch and everything is normal and business per usual. Not only sports betting, but fantasy football is a very large, maybe an impact player in how fans, you know, view the game and their interest level in the game and in individual players on different teams across the league. Fantasy football has really exploded and kind of become like a staple of an NFL Sunday for a lot of fans across the country.
Oh, I mean, I don't think that the NFL would be anywhere near as popular as it is without fantasy football over the last 10 years, kind of like the explosion of the internet and people playing games on the internet, and then also kind of peer-to-peer gambling coming in to play more. And if there wasn't for betting and fantasy on football, I don't think the NFL would be nearly as popular as it is. And yeah, I think there's a lot of people in kind of younger generation who don't root as much for teams anymore. You know, they could care less whether the Lions or win or lose, but they care more about how their fantasy players play. And it's just kind of a different way to think about following the game. But certainly people who are playing fantasy and are betting are following it way, way closer than your just casual sports fans. That's kind of what we appeal to, the hardcore people who are really playing fantasy seriously.
You know, and it's very interesting you mentioned that in today's fan, and I kind of feel it's that way, you know, across all sports. You know, nowadays, a lot of folks, it seems like the younger generation does follow individual players versus teams. You know, it doesn't matter to them, as you mentioned, if the Lions lost 35-7, if Matthew Stafford put up 400 yards and one touchdown with no picks, I mean, you would have a large portion of the population would be okay with that kind of performance.
Yeah, and you know, you just get more invested. I think people feel like they have more control. You know, I don't have control over whether the Lions win or lose. I can't make decisions on who they draft or who they start or who gets the ball. That's not up to me, but it is up to me if I can figure out, if I can outsmart my friends and figure out who's going to perform better statistically on Sundays, that is up to me. And I think that appeals to a lot of people, and I think rightfully so, actually.
You know, Adam, I'm very interested in, you know, when we dial in kind of some of the offseason moves, the Detroit Lions traded Darius Slay to the Philadelphia Eagles. Detroit got a third-round pick at number 85 overall and a fifth-round pick at number 166 in that trade. Now, you know, obviously the draft happens and acquisitions are made, but it felt like, okay, so the Lions dealt away Darius Slay that for whatever reason, maybe there were some things in the locker room that weren't necessarily mixing well. And then also maybe there were some things upstairs in the front office when it came to the books and trying to manage the salary cap that they weren't necessarily willing to pay Darius Slay what he wanted. So in the offseason, they grabbed Desmond Trufant. Number three overall, they grabbed Jeff Okuda. And it seemed like it was kind of almost like a two-for-one sort of deal there.
Yeah, I mean, this is what happens in the NFL. You know, when guys get to their second and third contracts, they're very, very, very expensive, and you have to be careful about who you give those to. The best deal, you know, especially with the rookie wage scale now, is getting premium players on their rookie deal. And Jeffrey Okuda, I would say, is definitely a premium player that you're going to have for the next 5 years at a cost control basis. And so, you know, Darius Slay, who knows how long he'll continue to play at a very high level. I think teams make mistakes about paying for past performance rather than what players will do on this future contract coming up. So I certainly didn't dislike the move that the Lions made, and I think both the Lions fans will be plenty happy with Jeffrey Okuda for sure.
You know, Adam Levitan joining us right now from EstablishTheRun.com. And Adam, around here, Matthew Stafford, the franchise quarterback, is a very polarizing topic. For whatever reason, some people don't believe what they see. Maybe they don't really see it. Maybe, you know, some people talk about quarterback wins as if that's a real stat. I don't know what side of the fence you're on, but I'm not much of a quarterback wins guy because I just think that there's too many other outlying factors that go into who can win a football game. But when you see Matthew Stafford from an outside perspective, not necessarily entrenched in the day-to-day debate over whether or not the Lions should have went quarterback at number three or you know, rode with Matthew Stafford, what do you see out of the Lions quarterback?
Yeah, I think Matthew Stafford from an arm talent perspective is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I mean, there's very few guys, even at the NFL level, who can make the kind of throws that Matthew Stafford can make. I think the situation in Detroit hasn't done him any favors. I mean, you mentioned the QB wins. I mean, there's a lot that goes into that. I think Matt Patricia has let them down a lot. I think the front office has let them down a lot. And so, you know, I would not put it all on Matthew Stafford. I think he, you know, had some major problems early in his career and proved after that to be one of the more durable starting quarterbacks in the league. Obviously, I know that he got hurt midway through last year, but I mean, yeah, you saw what he can do last year. I understand they started, you know, I believe it was 3-4-1, but there were some really close games. I mean, they lost a very close game to Kansas City. They lost a very close game to Green Bay, two of the better teams in the league, and they were scoring the ball. I think they were up around 25 points per game when Matthew Stafford went down, and Matthew Stafford was actually on pace to be fantasy's number two quarterback on the year when he went down. So yeah, I think people kind of maybe don't appreciate Matthew Stafford's game enough. I still think that with the right supporting cast, you can definitely win with Matthew Stafford.
General Manager Bob Quinn in the 2019 draft decided he was going to, you know, find a way to maybe give Matthew some help, and he drafted T.J. Hockenson, the tight end out of Iowa. In the first game of the season, it was a 27-27 overtime tie against the Arizona Cardinals in a game that never should have ended in a tie, but that's neither here nor there. But T.J. Hockenson, in that first game, I was like, holy smokes, this is all going to work out. He had six catches. He was targeted nine times, 131 yards, scored a touchdown. I was like, holy mackerel, we got the second coming to Travis Kelce out here or somebody. And then all of a sudden, things started to curtail. And, you know, that one game, you know, was basically a third of his total yards on the season. He finished with 32 catches on 59 targets for 367 yards. So what did you make of T.J. Hockenson in year one? What can we expect from the Lions' second-year tight end this coming 2020 season?
Yeah, I would not panic on T.J. Hockenson. I mean, the history of rookie tight ends stepping in and performing well is just absolutely atrocious. I mean, it almost never happens. Only 10 tight ends over the last 10 years have put up more than 500 yards as a rookie. And I think that's, you know, an argument for not having to put draft capital on the tight end position. I thought T.J. Hockenson was a very good prospect, but, you know, tight ends often break out on their second contract. It often takes them 2-3 years to get their feet settled in the NFL. And by that time, well, you've already wasted this, you know, really hot draft capital that you spent on TJ Hockenson. So, yeah, I think he's an ascending player. I think he could be much, much, much better this year. I don't think he'll, much like Eric Ebron, who I know you guys know in Detroit, you know, may not pay off until his second contract and may not realize the potential until his second contract. And that's, you know, kind of an argument for not spending that high of a pick to that position. But just in a vacuum, I think TJ Hockenson will play much, 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 much better this year. He's certainly a very, very good player and one of the better tight end prospects we've seen.
You know what, Adam, the wide receiver position is a position that the Lions went after heavily years ago. And then with the retirement of Calvin Johnson, a.k.a. Megatron, people got a little bit discouraged, and it was what was this team going to do? A couple years ago, they decided to trade away Golden Tate, and it just felt weird because it felt like that was a position of strength. Well, Kenny Golladay has come along in the last couple of years and has seen more than 100 targets in both 2018 and 2019. Last year, his most productive year of his young career with just shy of 1,200 yards. He scored 11 touchdowns throughout the season. I mean, this guy, to me, looks like as a round three pick, this is one of Bob Quinn's best choices in his draft history because this one was a steal out of Northern Illinois.
Oh, yeah, and it's hard to hit on some of these small school guys. They certainly hit on Kelly Golladay, who is an awesome, awesome prospect. And there's just not that many guys who record, you know, 150 catches, 2,500 yards, 15 touchdowns over the first 3 years of their career. And I think you could make an argument that Kenny Golladay, during his prime now, last year, was on pace for 1,200 yards before Matthew Stafford went down. And I think, you know, Marvin Jones is an underrated player also, and Sam Amendola and TJ Hockenson. I think they'll all draw some attention from defenses, and I think it sets up really well for Kenny Golladay to have a really strong year. So yeah, I think Kenny Golladay is one of the more exciting players that Detroit's had in a while. And, you know, you have to spend a lot to get him in fantasy, but I think he's got a pretty big chance to pay it off. I mean, he's going right there with some other guys like Mike Evans and Odell Beckham and guys that are kind of more household names, I would say.
Adam Levitan joining us right now from EstablishTheRun.com. And Adam, when you look at the Detroit Lions from a skill position, you know, they had Kerryon Johnson they picked up a couple years ago in the draft. They go with DeAndre Swift this year. And it feels like DeAndre Swift, Kenny Golladay, Kerryon Johnson, Marvin Jones Jr., Hockenson, who we mentioned, Jesse James, Danny Amendola, in addition of Quintez Cephas and Geronimo Allison. It feels like, from a skill position standpoint, Matthew Stafford finally has a legitimate company of weapons.
Yeah, I think so. And it's certainly invested enough. You know, I wouldn't recommend spending so much draft capital at the running back position as they have with Kerryon and DeAndre Swift. But I think if you can use DeAndre Swift as a pass catcher, you know, in a similar way that Alvin Kamara is used, or kind of a poor man's Christian McCaffrey is used, where they're lining up in the slot. And I think that DeAndre Swift can do that a lot and do it better than Theo Riddick used to do it for the Lions. I think that DeAndre Swift could be a major contributor. I still think they haven't used Kerryon Johnson enough. I mean, I don't know why Matt Patricia just refused to give Kerryon Johnson a bell cow role. I know he's had some injuries. But still, I certainly like their skill players. I think there's a concern along the offensive line. We actually have them 24th among 32 teams ranked in terms of offensive line, and that's certainly a concern for Matthew Stafford. But yeah, I mean, Marvin Jones has played well with Stafford. Obviously, Golladay. I think Amendola is fine for slot receiver. Then we've already talked about the running backs and Hockenson. I think quietly, you know, one of the better kind of skill cores in the league.
Quietly, one of the better skill cores. I like that. I feel good about that, Adam. Now you're talking my language. I need to see a little Honolulu blue and silver victory, and I don't care if everybody opts out and the Lions win the Super Bowl. You'll never be able to put an asterisk on that one in my book. That's for sure. Adam Levitan from Establish the Run joining us right now. Adam, when it comes to fantasy sports, I've kind of always carried this theory because I started as a young person playing and kind of got obsessed with it and then fell off in recent years while trying to manage different leagues and do separate things throughout the fantasy football season, where actually fielding my own roster, my attention span has kind of dissipated from that. But I'm looking forward to getting back in a little more detail this upcoming season. But one of the, I guess, key or cornerstone thoughts of mine was, if they do it once, it's a fluke. If they do it twice, it's a trend. If they can do something for 3 years at any position, when you talk about putting up average points per game or total points in a season, whatever the case may be, on an individual basis, you got to show me longevity. You got to be some sort of consistency is what I need. What is maybe a theory that you use or some principles that you use going into each year's draft when taking a look at an entire draft board, and you're sitting there in round number one, maybe you're pick number five. What is a strategy or maybe a theory that you use and you like as like your religion?
Yeah. So I think that what you're alluding to is kind of very baked into the market, right? So if a guy's really good for 3 years straight, obviously his price is going to react to that. The market is going to be on top of that. I think a way to kind of get ahead would be think about things that maybe other people aren't thinking about. And so there's going to be a lot of big names that come off the board early, particularly at the quarterback position. I think when you think about position scarcity is a better way to think about drafting. And certainly this year there's a plethora of wide receivers available. There's a plethora of quarterbacks available through the mid rounds and in the late rounds. Whereas the running back position is going to drop off really quickly. So I think ideally trying to structure a draft where you would get two or three running backs in probably the first four rounds and then kind of avoid these kind of running backs who are going to fourth through, I don't know, eighth round or so, which are based on basically just opportunity, but not great players, not great roles, just simple. They're going to get touches and so people want them. That's kind of where you come up empty. So I think running backs early, wide receivers through the middle, and then pick up some flyers on running backs. And a late round quarterback is really the key when you're in these one quarterback leagues. The difference between Matthew Stafford or Ben Roethlisberger or Daniel Jones or Teddy Bridgewater you can get for almost free is not that different than what you would get from Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson or Kyler Murray or somebody like that who's going, you know, in round five or six. So yeah, I think coming into the draft with some type of structural plan and understanding what your opponents are likely to do, I think is a good idea.
Adam, do you mean to tell me that we're taking a trip back in time, going back to running back in the first two rounds? That used to be the trend. Everybody used to hammer the running backs, and all of a sudden it was like the wide receiver revolution. And then everybody started going wide receiver. And then all of a sudden it was the tight end revolution, and everybody wanted to snag a tight end. Now, what I love about fantasy sports is, especially like in round three, when somebody reaches for somebody and then you start to see that slide. I guess it happens in the real draft too, but, you know, somebody grabs a tight end and then all of a sudden there's a panic to, oh, I got to grab a tight end. And then you just watch them come off the board one after another. But it's interesting that you say that that pendulum has kind of swung back to running back.
Well, so think about the way the league is going. You know, there's more committee running backs. There's more specialists. Every team has a pass down back and an early down back and a backup and more wide receivers on the field than ever. You know, more teams are running three wide receiver and four wide receiver personnel. So what you see is the running backs who actually do get all of their team's work, like McCaffrey or Barkley or Zeke or maybe Miles Sanders or Kenyon Drake or whoever you think, these guys are going to be elevated in value because they're scarcer and then because there's more wide receivers on the field. I mean, hell, I can get, you know, Tyler Lockett in the fifth round. I can get Adam Thielen in the fourth round. I can get DK Metcalf in the sixth. I mean, I can get Will Fuller in the seventh. So there's just so many good wide receivers available. There's just more of them on the field. So, yeah, I think there's just kind of been a change in the way the NFL has gone lately, and it's led to more positional availability at the wide receiver position.
He is Adam Levitan of EstablishTheRun.com. Adam, my friend, thank you so much for taking the time to hang out and talk a little fantasy football, and it feels like football is right on the corner. We appreciate the time today, my man.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
There is nothing on earth more amazing than the human brain. No computer can match its intellect. No work of art can rival its beauty. And there is nothing on earth more personal than your brain. It defines who you are. It determines how you love and what others love in you. Your brain is unlike anything we have ever known or will ever see. And in a moment, all of that can change forever. Traumatic brain injury, TBI, can happen anywhere, at any time, to anyone. TBI can define who you are. TBI can determine how you will love. There is nothing on earth more amazing than the human brain. And for victims and families of TBI, there is nowhere on earth like the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor.
The Eisenhower Center, leading the way in traumatic brain injury rehabilitation. Learn more at EisenhowerCenter.com.
These days, we all agree we need to stay safe, and your local Auto Value Parts stores want to help. That's why we now offer same-day curbside pickup on thousands of in-stock parts. All you need to do is place your order at myautovaluestore.com. That's myautovaluestore.com. Then call the store when you arrive, and one of our team members will bring the order right out to your vehicle. It's that easy. Shop local. Shop Michigan-based Auto Value and support your friends and neighbors. Auto Value. Service is the difference. We get it.
It's easier than ever to save, and then save some more at Meijer. Look for new signs across the store to check off your list for less. Blue signs show new permanent price drops on everyday favorites like Meijer shredded cheese. Or look for red sale signs. You'll find hot, limited-time prices like family pack boneless skinless chicken breasts, only $1.88 per pound. With all new low prices, weekly sales, and more at Meijer, how low can your price go? Exclusions apply. See all the deals in the Meijer app.
Attention, Davenport University graduating class of 2020. A large number of your fellow Davenport 2020 graduates are not happy with Davenport's current plan for graduation ceremonies and would like change. If you agree and feel change needs to be made, join our Facebook group, Protest for Change DU 2020 Graduation. That's Protest for Change DU 2020 Graduation on Facebook. Other college graduates are getting more. Let Davenport's administration know your hard work deserves better.
It's a new day, a day of winning big at Soaring Eagle during the $1 Million Summer. Saturdays now through September. That's right, $1 Million in premium play is up for grabs. With six players winning $500 every half hour from 9 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. It's the $1 Million Summer, only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com for complete rules and details.